Welcome into the whole show powered by Chevron. I am Brady Hull. We've got Angel Padilla on the other side of the bulletproof glass, ready to rock and roll on this Thursday, second day of November. And I had some fun and tweeted out, you know, at the end of October, the Nuggets were undefeated in October, so I got to be fair. The Nuggets are completely defeated in the month of November. They lose their first game of the season last night against the Minnesota Timberwolves. Yeah, yeah. Panic button time? No.
Season's over, Brady.
Season's done.
You lost tank. To a team like that, you can't.
Should we tank?
No, blow it up. Everyone's gone.
Yeah, just tank it and trade for everybody. Yeah, trade all
they
your assets.
They can all take their rings, pawn them off, and survive.
I think that's exactly what we should do. It was a weird game, Angel. I mean, I'm not making excuses. It just, I mean, you knew something was going to happen at some point. I was really hoping the Nuggets could start the season out like the Avs did, like a 6-0 mark or something like that. But I think there is something to be said. Everybody's having fun with the Halloween thing. Like, NBA players really get into it. They're putting on Halloween costumes before they go to their certain games. And I know
you didn't think they went to a party on Halloween. You're crazy.
You're crazy.
You got millions of dollars and you got an off night.
Yeah.
Let's party.
Yeah. And they dress up. They're not just wearing those outfits to the plane, you know, and all that. And again, I know yesterday Halloween was Tuesday, but the Nuggets didn't get to do all the costume stuff because they didn't play. So there's something weird about it. It was an off night for everybody save for Nikola Jokic. The only thing he was off on was assists, but when nobody's scoring baskets, it's difficult to complete assists. Joker had 25 points, 3 assists, 10 rebounds, but nobody else really showed up. I mean, Jamal Murray did in that third quarter, but he was, you know, throughout the night, he was 5 of 16, 1 of 4 from the 3-point line, 3 of 5 from the free throw line. I mean, it was their free throw percentage was better, but it was still a little shaky, at least for Jamal Murray. It was terrible the other night. But you lose this game, and yeah, it's you almost crumple it up, throw it away.
Yeah, I mean, when you look at just Gordon was minus 13, Porter's minus 19, Murray's minus 19, Jokic minus 17. The only positives were Holiday and Strother off the bench with plus 2.
Strother, I am excited to see more and more. Now, he's 1 for 6 from the 3-point line, but I'll say it again. He looks good when he misses. He looks confident. And I think a lot of those will start falling in. You know, one of those threes he hit was to put the game back within kind of reach, I believe, in the third. The Nuggets kind of tried to, they kept making it a game a little bit. They'd creep in the second quarter and get down by like 5, and then Minnesota would pull away. Then they'd cut into the lead and get it to like 10, and Minnesota would pull away. And it was just,
like,
it's just
what
one
the Nuggets
of those nights.
Do to other teams.
Yeah, it did not look like a Nuggets game last night. Joker, again, 25. Joker is that good now, which is awesome, and I'm glad we're here. But you can look at 25 points, and you can watch the game and go, yeah, he wasn't awesome. He wasn't MVP style, but that's how good he is now. 25 points, given the way the game went, isn't really that impressive anymore. That's just it. I mean, he was 1 for 6 from the 3-point line, and he was forcing things. I mean, he had 5 turnovers in this game. Is there, I know, and our boy Brian, you know, he'll be the first one, and, you know, 4-1, calm down. Well, what we do is you take every game. That's the beauty of 82 games. Every single game is its own little story, its own little entity. Now, when you really start freaking out is how do they follow up that with Dallas tomorrow night? How do they follow up the Dallas game with the next game? And you start seeing if there's any trends. That Avalanche win last night, for example, that was a significant early season win for them because you don't, if you're, we had Eric Lacroix on the show. We have him on every Friday, former Colorado Avalanche, does a lot of stuff with DNVR Avs. And he said, you know, great teams, the teams that want to be title contenders are really, really upset if they lose 2 in a row. Now, I don't know if that's the same kind of look in the NBA, but the Avs last night, that game was significant, and it was early, but you didn't want to go on a 3-game losing streak. It's amazing how quickly things can go south. So again, the Nuggets are 4-1. They get smoked by the T-Wolves pretty much from tip-off to the final whistle. It's going to be important to see what they do tomorrow. Did last night's game change anything in my mind? as far as them not repeating? No. The answer is absolutely not. But every game is, I know it's 82 games, but every game does have meaning. So losing a game, you are forced to look at what went wrong, and let's look at it. I mean, you brought up the plus-minus, and that was awful. At least Joker's producing when he's out there, but really, Angel, nobody else did. That was the scary thing. Jamal had 14 points. He got him mostly in the third quarter. I think
he started like 2 for 13 or whatever.
Yeah, he was good in the third. But Angel, this is what I'm talking about with Jamal Murray. He wants to be an all-star. He talks about being an all-star. Michael Malone wants him to be an all-star. That is not what an all-star does. Again, Nikola Jokic, not really that great of a game, would you say, right? Mm-hmm. But 25 points and 10 boards. He sneezes and there's a double-double. He has arrived at that status. That's what LeBron did in his prime and apparently still does. Did it last night. That's what the great upper echelon all-star type players do. They maybe have 3 or 4 nights where you just go, ooh, that's one you want to throw away. But Joker doesn't even have, like, how many games are we going to see this year where we go, Joker had 14 points and 6 assists and 6 rebounds? He doesn't do that very often. Because if it's 14 points and it's like 13 rebounds and 10 assists. So last night, what was frustrating to me was also like the doom that I feel, and I know I'm a negative Nancy Angel, but the doom I feel in my heart when the day comes Nikola Jokic does not put on a Denver Nuggets uniform. Because life's going to change for us. Life is going to change. Fortunately, I think we've got 5 years. So don't have to worry about that yet. But this is where I look at this team and I say, man, on their best nights, I know I sound like a broken record, but on their best nights, Jamal Murray is that good. Aaron Gordon is unstoppable. Michael Porter Jr. makes it look easy when he's hitting shots. But that's the problem with some of these guys. Is they don't always have those nights. And I know, Nuggets fans are freaking out listening. Brady, they're the champs, they're 4-1 and all that stuff. And you know what? Rest easy, they will be the champs again. They will win back-to-back championships. But this game needs to be something that you can't simply, even though I said it, you can't just crumple it up and throw it away. You really need to evaluate why this was a bad game. Or was this just Halloween week, bound to happen, shots weren't falling, a gaming throwaway? I think you really need to evaluate roles on this team. Michael Porter Jr., Jamal Murray, do you want to be an all-star? Because here's what it's going to take. Last night's game can only happen like 1 or 2 more times.
Yeah, and you know, we've heard it, the narrative around this team that Malone's been preaching is every night you're going to get every team's best shot.
Sure.
You're the defending champs. Everyone wants to take you down. And Minnesota, I think, had a lot of juice about that, and they kind of saw it as a revenge game. You know, this is a team that...
Oh, yeah.
You know, Gobert and Edwards, they didn't have Gobert didn't show up enough in the playoffs. Cat and Edwards were kind of holding this team together, and they kind of felt maybe we could have taken the Nuggets to a 4 or 5 game series. It did go to 5, but yeah, it's just, you know, you're upset about it as a fan, but also, you know, if you're looking at it from Malone's perspective, it's okay, this is a great opportunity to show this team what's going on this season, because there are going to be teams that come out like that with that energy, and you have to match it.
Especially, like you said, with Minnesota. They took that series loss personally last year. I mean, they thought that they really thought they could make that a series, and they did. I mean, they were tough games. Mm-hmm. And they thought, man, a few more breaks go our way, and could have been the one.
Edward was like 2 inches away from tying game 5.
Sure, and keeping that thing going. So in Minnesota, that was a big win for you. That was a big game for you. You were up for it. But the question now is, how do you follow that up? And here it is, Angel. Let's talk about it. The elephant in the room with Michael Porter Jr. That's our poll question of the day. Are you concerned? And I tweeted out last night, which a lot of people didn't like, and I just said, I'm sorry, but I'm not quite sure what Michael Porter Jr. does for this team right now. And a lot of people were like, it's been 5 games. And I'm not looking at just 5 games. I'm talking about the playoffs, too. Now, in those playoffs, he did the rebounding thing, and all that was good. But you asked him the question, Angel, at Media Day, do you still consider yourself an elite shooter? And Michael was respectful to your question. Other media members laughed, but it was the best question to ask, Angel. I got your back on that. That was nobody wanted to ask Michael Porter Jr. whether he thinks he's an elite shooter. My man Angel asked the freaking question, and the question is much needed because today, as we talk, he is not an elite shooter. So I was thinking about you, as I tend to do, and I was like, dude, that was a question. The stones that Angel had in that press conference to ask that question, I think I even overlooked how brave that question was, because this is what we need to be asking of Michael Porter Jr. If you're not an elite shooter, who are you? What are you? So again, going back to that question, dude, he handled it well. Media snickered back there, but I didn't see any of them asking that question, including myself. That's the question that needs to be asked to Michael Porter Jr.
Yeah, and you know, I'm so secret. I'm a big MPJ fan.
You're a huge MPJ fan. Yet you were you asked the realest, most critical question to him.
Yeah, and you know, when I look at it, you just look at it. I didn't watch this game, so you know, I'm just going off a box score. But you know, 2 for 11 from the field. That shows me, yeah, it was an off night, but he didn't stop shooting. And that's, you know, mentality. A shooter's mentality is you just keep shooting until you make it. But I do understand, you know, till 5 rebounds, an assist, a steal, a block. You know, he's doing just little things here. And I understand the contract and the potential of what MPJ should be at this point is not matching up yet. But I mean, it's up for him to decide what kind of player he's going to be.
Yeah.
If he's going to be a shooter, be a shooter. If you're going to be an all-around guy, show me that, but you can't be in the middle at this point.
You can't be in the middle. And I know Tanner this morning was like, should they be looking at trade options? I'm not there, but
the core four has been assembled to win 2 to 3 championships the window.
But I do have to see more from MPJ. I have to see, when you asked him that question, it was, do you consider yourself an elite shooter, or do you think that you're going to be more of an all-around kind of guy? And if that's the case, then I don't need 25 from you. I don't need 20 from you. I need 13 to 15 on a regular basis, pairing with 8 to 10 boards and a couple assists here and again, and some good defense. I'm not really seeing that. In the playoffs, we put up with it because you were seeing it, and he came up with some big moments, and then Bruce Brown came and took some of that pressure off when he came in the game. So that's where I do, when we press that panic button, no, I don't think that Calvin Booth should be on the phone right now going, hey, anybody want Michael Porter Jr.? They're not going to mess with the nucleus. But if this night happens, more often than not, first off, you're not going to find that many people that are going to want to give you much of a deal for MPJ. But second, you're not going to... That's going to be difficult to repeat if one of your major contract guys is not giving you something else, whether that's the points or the other stats. So there's a lot to it. And this, listen, Michael Porter Jr. is not alone in this. Jamal Murray, every year I put pressure on Jamal Murray. He hates the questions of, are you just playoff Murray? You know, are you this guy? He gets so mad. He bristles at those questions. This is why we ask you those questions. And I love Nikola Jokic, but even he bristled and defended Jamal and said, dude, his minutes were different. You know, he was playing more minutes in the playoffs. Of course, well, that ain't your excuse. You do it whether you're playing 30 minutes or 38 minutes. So why are you giving that excuse to Jamal?
I don't want this to turn into throw all the starters under the bench, but KCP only shot the ball 4 times.
Right?
Aaron Gordon had 4 points last night.
No, nobody showed up.
Against
a
physical team like Minnesota, Gordon should be all over the paint. He should be getting dunks and layups all night long.
If we're going to be, yeah, they look like there's no rust, and that's great. If we're going to do that through 4 games, then when we see a stinker like this, you got to call it out. This is, I want to relax, but I got to tell you, Angel, tomorrow's game against Dallas.
Big one.
That's a big game. I know it's a mid-season tournament
cup game.
Opportunity. Here we go.
But it's a national televised game against one of the top teams in the NBA.
An undefeated team, a team you might see in the playoffs. It's Luka and Joker buddies over there. This is a big one. And so suddenly that game doesn't look like, Nuggets, do your thing. It's going to be a win. No, you got to look inward here. You can't just watch Nikola Jokic play basketball. That's what was happening last night. They were watching Nikola Jokic play basketball. That was frustrating. We'll talk more about that throughout the day today. Let's get to the good, the bad, the ugly. How about that? Presented by FMS Bank. Banking made simple for more. go to fmsbank.com. The good, the Avs get back in the win column. And again, early season stuff. You lose two in a row, but by a margin of 8-0. How do you bounce back? Don't make it 3 in a row. That's the kind of stuff you're looking at in the regular season. And surprise, surprise, Mikko Rantanen was the one star last night. He was the one star. Ross Colton, 2-star. And then, backup goalie. Come on.
Prosvetov. Ivan.
Ah, good job. Good job, Ivan. You know what? We're going to call him Ivan Pros. That's what we're going to... Nah, we'll figure out something else. Let's call him Ivan. How about Ivan? Just go there. 4-1. Mikko Rantanen, dude. I know we talk about Cale Makar and Nathan MacKinnon, but if Mikko keeps this up, he's going to put himself right there. He had a goal and an assist. Continues to lead this team.
Makar didn't play last night. Or no, he did.
But he's still kind of
banged up.
Kind of jacked up from that ridiculous hit the other night. But Miko's a stud. He is a superstar. He's becoming one right before our eyes, and it's consistent. That's the key. The bad for me was the others last night for the Nuggets. There were no others. Jamal Murray for a third period. Zeke was good for a moment or two. He's a hardworking guy. My respect level is going up for him. But that's not the guy you're expecting to go with Joker. So, the others. Where was everybody else? The ugly for me? I think it was just the loss. I had to read what I wrote there, Angel. I was like, what did I write? Just the loss. Nuggets face last night. There was really no doubt. Minnesota got up early, and it was just Nuggets trying to survive throughout stints of this game. But it was Minnesota controlled this game throughout.
Would you rather lose that game or lose your first game to Dallas on national TV at home?
Yeah, I'd rather lose that last night's game. So maybe they got it out of their system.
Yeah.
They go on. And this is where it's critical, too, where Calvin Booth and Michael Malone want to see. They want to see stretches of wins, like 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 game winning streaks. After you lose one, can you quickly rebound and go win a few more? That's what the Nuggets want to see. And that's why I do think the 82 games, every game has a little bit of meaning. They're not the most meaningful, but there's a little bit of meaning. 23 minutes after the hour, we got a lot to get to today. I was out bright and early, and it was not bright. Checking out the beginning of the boot run. The CSU members of the CSU ROTC were out there getting ready to go, getting the run on. Jay Norvell's out there bright and early. It wasn't as cold.
You didn't go to clean the Rams? It wasn't your job?
The UW thing was off of the butts of the Rams. The Rams' butts were clean, as they say.
Very good.
That was the first thing I looked at. All the ROTC members were surrounding it. So I'm like trying to peek in there, you know, but I finally saw it. I was like, aha! And they're like, what are you looking at? I'm like, the butt! It's clean! And that was...
It's more rubbed off than... I think a lot of people touch those part of the statues because it's like the bronze is rusted off of there.
Yeah, that's weird, right? You pat them on the butt
pat
there.
Pat them on the head or something.
Yeah, go up on the horns there. So that was cool. I'll talk to Kevin Lytle of the Colorado one about that. You know, the event itself, the game coming up on Tanner's favorite day to watch football, Friday night. We're going to be talking about that. I'm going to have UNC wrestling coach Troy Nickerson on the program. I love Troy. I'm not the best when it comes to wrestling, but when it comes to talking to Troy, I just love catching up with this guy. So we'll talk to him. We got Jesse Kurtz of the Mountain West Network later on the program. Thursday night special. Here it is, Angel. If I lose tonight, I did this once already. If I lose, I was going to let a special guest or a listener pick my next Thursday night game. If I lose tonight, there is a special guest here that knows his stuff that will be coming in. I will be calling out a lifeline. I'll be tagging him in, and I'm going to give him. He's never done radio before.
What is your record?
He's never done radio before.
What's the record? You have one win?
No, I do. I did get two. Okay. How many Thursday night games have there been? How many weeks are we in now? What week is this?
Week 8, so there should be 7.
So I am, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I am 2-6.
All right.
I picked the Chiefs to cover. They lost to the Lions. I picked the Vikings to beat the Eagles. They lost. I picked the Giants to cover 10.5 against San Francisco. I'm not proud of that. Although 2 weeks ago might have been a good pick. I got the Lions to cover against the Packers. I got that one. I lost the Commanders Bears game. I picked the Commanders to cover and win that game. Bears got me there. I picked the Chiefs to cover against the Broncos. I took the Saints to cover against the Jags. And then last week I got backdoored. I took the Bills to cover against the Buccaneers, 9.5, and the Bucs scored a meaningless touchdown. So it is threat level midnight here for you office fans. Threat level midnight. So if I lose tonight, I'm tagging in. I'm bringing in somebody special, really special when it comes to picking games. I'm John Elway in this case. I can't seem to manage this team anymore. I can't seem to figure it out. So I'm going to promote myself to not doing it anymore. And then I'll bring somebody else in. That's what I'm doing. 26 minutes after the hour. It's the whole show powered by Chevron on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
You're home for UNC basketball. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Chris Abshire, Fort Collins, Colorado, and you are listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
On the Rocks Liquor, bringing us our game beer of the week from Horse and Dragon. It's a Sad Panda Coffee Stout. Also, Saturday's wine tasting is from Estate Brands. That's On the Rocks Liquor. I love these people, John and Tony. Tony came by to see the station the other day. She is lovely. Not when it comes to bowling, though. She becomes a fierce competitor when it comes to bowling, and we're going to be doing that. We're looking for teams, by the way. We've got our Weld Food Bank Turkey Bowling thing that we do November 17th. Yeah, that's fun. 2:30. Is the 17th a Friday? I think so. We're going to be doing that the week before Thanksgiving. The goal of it is to raise some money. Teams come out. You spend some money. It's like $150 per team, four people on your team. I'd love for some hooligans to get out there. Like, Dixon, you going to bring that thunder, man? Bring that thunder out there. Bring it to the bowling alley. Like, if I'm ever about to get in a fight with somebody, I'm always just like, save it for the alley, the bowling alley. Dixon says, tonight's pick is predetermined. Does he mean that the script is in for the NFL or that I've already picked the game?
Script's already in.
So what would the script say for tonight? Who's sexier? What's the sexier win? Pickett, probably, right?
I think Pickett. I think the Steelers as a team is better. Yeah. But, you know, rookie quarterback. Ooh, it's going to happen.
Will Levi's.
Will Mayonnaise. Mr. Coffee Mayonnaise guy.
Every time I see his name, I just...
He does that and looks like Levi's. He eats the banana peels.
Oh, that's the gross guy.
Yeah.
That's the gross... Nobody likes...
Mayonnaise coffee guy.
Yeah, that's disgusting. Well, if Dixon's saying that... Oh, no. No, Dixon, we dissolved that. We dissolved it. It's gone. My unwritten... My contract, Angel. The contract.
Oh, yeah.
But I... It... The Titans let me out of that contract.
Because of Tannehill?
So, yeah. Okay. I don't know. They let me out of it.
Well, he's not playing, so...
I'm glad Dixon remembered that. I don't know. Honestly, this one's tough, dude. It's -3. I could see Derrick Henry finally going off in this game. But then again, Pittsburgh's defense. I don't know. I don't know yet. Dixon called me on that. Look at that, man. I love that. We'll see if that holds true. It might.
I mean, we talked about broken curses yesterday with the Broncos and Josh McDaniels. So maybe your curse is broken.
I think it's lifted. So if I pick Tennessee, it's because I genuinely think they're going to win. 34 minutes after the hour. Kevin Lytle jumping on the show next. He was out boot running. Actually, he was taking pictures of boot running, but kind of the same thing. We'll talk to Mr. Lytle on the other side of this break. But first, let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
What's up, guys? It's Jack Howell, safety for the Green and Gold. You're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Thirty-eight minutes after the hour, And I was desperately trying to find it. I tried to get a secret picture of Kevin Lytle on the job this morning so I could, you know, circle him for the fans of his and say, hey, another Kevin Lytle spotting. But, Kevin, I'm so terrible with pictures. It's just a blur. Nobody would be able to see it. So I didn't get it. So I'm gonna need to get one today when you're in studio. So be ready.
Some of us are just pretty quick, hard to capture on film, you know.
Dude, you were moving. You were moving when the members of the ROTC took off from Canvas Stadium and got rolling. There you are with your camera in hand, and I thought I could have swore you were the flash for about 5 seconds or so.
five seconds, about as long as my top speed lasts. So that checks out.
That was cool, though. I'd actually never been out there before. And it was neat. I mean, I was only out there to watch them leave Canvas Stadium, and Coach Norvell spoke to the members of the ROTC and all that. But where did you go? Did you track them down and try to see what their next step was?
Yeah, if there's a little background noise, it's because I'm standing at the Colorado-Wyoming state line. The run, or at least the CSU portion of the run, is about to end. Right here at the border, there will be the little ceremony with Jay Norvell and Craig Bohl, and the boot will be here. You know, Cam is here. The little pony that Wyoming has, whatever its name is here. I was able to track them down going up 287. So I think the ROTC is on their final leg right now, kind of finishing up the last mile or so. And then they'll hand it off to Wyoming, who will go finish the thing, as Jay Norvell says, with their, light, short little run.
That's been the thing CSU's pushing, too. They're like, we run further, we run further. Okay, Kevin, so let's pretend we have new listeners chiming in or listening in that have never really followed the boot run and all of that. Can you just kind of briefly walk us through what this is, how far they go, where they meet, what happens when they meet, and all of that?
Yeah, it's a really unique tradition in college football. So the ROTCs of the two schools kind of combine to do, it's called the boot run. So it starts at the stadium of whoever's the visitor in the football game. So it's at, the game is at Wyoming tomorrow. So start at Canvas Stadium, like you said, about 5:15, 5:30 this morning. CSU's ROTC met, and like you said, Joe Parker, Jay Norvell present them with the game ball, and they literally start the run. They go in generally groups of four, I believe it is. They have a support group behind them, police and everything, because they're running on the roads, obviously. Safety measure there. So, yeah, CSU's ROTC runs it from Canvas Stadium all the way up to the border here. I believe it's like 38, 39 miles, something like that. And going in this direction, that's pretty much all uphill. So it's quite a little jog there. And then, we have the ceremony at the border where the bronze boot will be here. Both coaches will make a little speech, and then Wyoming's ROTC will pick it up and take it the rest of the way into Laramie. And that's kind of the starter for, Border War night.
Now, do they actually – is that the first football that they'll use? Is that the original
game? I was wondering that. I'm not 100% certain either way. Maybe I'll ask someone, see if I can find that out, because I actually do not know if that is – truly one. It certainly is one of the CSU game balls that is, it's a real one. It's not like a little Walmart football or anything like that. But will it be in use tomorrow? I should try and ask and find out.
Yeah, you let me know if you get that answer, and we can confirm on Rams Weekly later on.
Yeah, exactly. This is investigative journalism.
Yes, that's it at its finest. And I know if there's anybody that's going to be able to do it, it's Kevin Lytle. Kevin, as far as the actual game here, 2 weeks ago, I would have been shaken a little bit thinking of the Rams pulling this off. But after seeing Wyoming get smoked by Boise State last week, and I've seen some hints of CSU becoming a better football team, now I'm wondering, are we going to see something more like we saw last year? What was it, like 14-13 last year, Wyoming?
Yeah, I don't know. All week, I've kind of just felt that this is going to be a really close game. So now me saying that, you probably expect a blowout. But both teams have played a lot of close games this year. Wyoming, I think, certainly can be quite good. But we know their offense is, not supremely explosive. And like you say, CSU, the record isn't great. But I think it's pretty clear to the eye test that this is a better team than, certainly a year ago. So I don't know. I just have this feeling of a really good game Friday night. I sure hope so. I mean, that's what you want with these rivalries. But that's kind of what I feel. I truly feel this is going to be a fourth quarter game decided late on.
What needs to happen here? Let's look at the offensive side of the ball for Colorado State. What needs to happen for this Rams team to really just make everybody feel like this four air raid can take hold for a full game? I think that's what we're waiting for now. Last year, we didn't see it really at all. And then this year, we're seeing it. We're just not seeing it in large chunks throughout a football game.
Yeah, well, tomorrow it's going to have to be. You're going to need some of those young receivers. Torrey Horton is hurt. He's really beat up. They haven't said his status, if he'll play or not. I would guess he'll probably try and give it a go, but he's also not going to be 100%. So I think it definitely puts a lot of pressure on Justice Ross Simmons, Lewis Brown. Both in times have shown up, but like you said, the consistency, it hasn't been game to game. So I think there's a really big test for those guys to kind of put their foot down, put their stamp on this offense, and see if they can kind of carry some of what Torrey does. Now, that's not to say Torrey may not have an impact, because he's obviously an incredible player, and even hobbled, he's good. But you're probably going to need other guys. So to me, that's the biggest thing. Justice Ross, LB are probably the two main ones. Can they really step up?
Yeah, that'll be the big question for sure. And then just kind of this ongoing, not really saga, I think that makes it look like it's in a negative light, but the BFN, Braden Fowler Nicolosi, his growth right before our very eyes, watching him each and every week, just wondering what kind of quarterback we're going to get on Friday night.
Yeah, we're kind of riding the freshman roller coaster. The first few games he was in, it was, tons of yards, touchdowns, but also kind of mind-numbing interceptions and turnovers. The last few weeks, he's toned that down. He has one pick in the last three games, so he's obviously been more careful there. But he's also, the offense hasn't been as explosive either. So, yeah, again, it just goes back to consistency. We kind of keep beating that one, but it's true. This offense in spurts has been really good, but not, consistently. Again, defenses have something to do with that, and Wyoming has a very good one, so they're going to have a say. But yeah, you just want this team to, start better offensively and not go through these lulls of a quarter, quarter and a half where they just do nothing. It's okay sometimes, even if you don't score, if you get a first down or two and, hold the ball a bit and then punt away. That's better than a, immediate three and out.
Kevin Lytle joining us from the Fort Collins, Colorado. And stay tuned for Rams Weekly coming up at 5 here. Kevin and I will really dive in to all things border war. On the defensive side, Kevin, we've seen CSU's defense get absolutely torn apart by a solid rushing attack. But we've also seen them, like against Air Force. I know Air Force scored 30 points, but there were a lot of weird things that happened. Turnovers on downs, snowball penalties, the fumbles that turned into points. So I honestly thought the defense in spurts did pretty good against Air Force, but they're going to need to stop the run. Harrison Whaley, who didn't have a good game last week against Boise State, coming off an injury, he is still somebody you got to be very careful with.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think that's number one. If you can slow down the run, get a lead, make Andrew Peasley beat you, Wyoming offense or passing attack has not shown an ability to be very consistent. They have made some big plays. You go back to that Texas Tech game early in the season, and Peasley made some great throws, but make him kind of be the guy that beats you. I think you could live with that, because that's the weaker side. You don't want, like you say, you don't want Whaley going for 200 yards and three touchdowns and line you up. So make Wyoming be a little bit one-dimensional is the key. And I agree with you. I thought CSU was pretty decent defensively against the run last week against Air Force. So I think that's a good sign that the D has made some improvements in the run game. Boise State was running wild on them in the first half, and then CSU really shut down in the second half. So there are some good signs there.
Kevin, what's it like when the coaches actually meet out there? Because, I had Jack on the other day, and every other word out of his mouth was, "I hate Wyoming." Like, and I get it. I mean, these guys really are buying into it, and that's what you want to see as a fan. But when the coaches meet, is it like a short handshake and that's it? Because they know they're supposed to hate each other, or are they actually pretty cool with each other?
Yeah, I think it depends on which coaches. This is the fourth coach that Craig Bohl has met the border, because CSU keeps churning through them. But him, Bohl and Norvell, I think they truly have a great respect for each other. Both longtime coaches. They've been in a lot of different places. I think there truly is high level of respect. Obviously, coaches tend to say that about each other, But in this case, I think it really is true that, you know, they're, you know, older, kind of old school. Obviously, Norvell's style is much different as far as how he plays, but kind of old school coaches from that, you know, different era than younger coaches. So I think there really is big respect. Certainly, you know, they both want to beat each other. You can bet that Craig Bohl does not want this bronze boot crossing the state line 24 hours from now. But I think there is a very real respect between the two.
It's really interesting. Both teams, like as soon as they lost, you know, Wyoming gets smoked by Boise State and CSU ultimately loses to Air Force. It was, I mean, both teams, as soon as that game was over, it was almost like, yeah, we lost. That sucks. It's border war time. It's amazing. They always say like the 24-hour rule thing. That doesn't seem to apply when border war is next.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you move right on to that because, yeah, no, kind of no matter what happens. That's the focus, and yeah, certainly for both teams come out a loss, that kind of makes it easy of like, okay, forget that one, on to the next one and the big rivalry game.
Kevin Lytle, my friend, safe travels back here to the studio, and I'm assuming you drove. You're not going to be running, so we'll expect you at some point this afternoon.
Yeah, if I were making that run back, we might have to postpone Rams Weekly for,
like
for a
year.
Month or two. Yeah.
Kevin, great work as always, man. Nobody better when it comes to Colorado State coverage. Appreciate you, man.
You bet. Thanks for having me on.
Kevin Lytle, Fort Collins, Coloradoan. So there you go. If you missed it, Smitty just texting in. Torrey Horton, banged up. He hasn't been ruled in or out at this point. Kevin imagines he'll suit up because he's that kind of guy. But how much of an impact will he make in Friday night's game? That is something to watch out for. Certainly, Justice Ross Simmons, Dallin Holker, tight end, they have guys that are capable of big-time games. But Torrey Horton is an NFL wide receiver. So not if he's not in and if he's hurt, all that stuff banged up, that could be a tough one for the Colorado State Rams. All right, 10 minutes until the top of the hour. Got the big story of the day coming up in the 12 o'clock hour. UNC Wrestling head coach Troy Nickerson will join me. Jesse Kurtz with the Mountain West Network. That's all coming up in the next hour. We'll be right back.
Start your day with Good Morning NoCo with Brian Gary and Tanner Schwint on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, this is Warren Jackson, former CSU wide receiver, current NFL wide receiver for the Los Angeles Rams, and you're listening to the whole show on KFK.
Border War is tomorrow night, Friday night. Colorado State, Wyoming. CSU really needs a dub here, although Wyoming would say, hey, we need it ridiculously. We needed it just as much, man. We need to find a way to get this win because of what happened last weekend against Boise State. Wyoming, you know, shows us how good they can be, and then the fear was that they would drop one, and that would set them back in terms of finding a way into that Mountain West championship game. Well, they lost to Boise, and that's not completely out of the picture. It's not mathematically out of the picture, but a loss tomorrow to CSU would be it for them. They obviously still get a bowl and all that stuff. CSU, on the other hand, it's almost mathematically out for them to, you know, they'd have to win out, and they'd need Air Force to lose out, and they'd need UNLV to lose out, and they'd need whatever. They need a lot. So I'm not holding my breath for that. What I am holding my breath for is CSU getting into a bowl game for the first time. Golly. For the first time since, was that Bobo's third year? Am I right on that? Yeah, because Adazio had the 2020 year, and then the year after that was that would be like since Bobo's third year.
2017
wow.
New Mexico Bowl.
It's a long time. I mean, you build a nice stadium and you want to be a big time program and you want to talk about big conferences and stuff, and yet you haven't been to a bowl game, meaning you haven't won six games at least since 2017. So there's a lot to play for. If you're Colorado State, you don't want to have another year go by where you're not at the very least a bowl team. So the pressure is on. You beat Wyoming. Yeah, there you go. Then you got to win two of the next, what, three games. And those are all winnable games. So you would set yourself up in a pretty good run down the stretch there. All right, plenty to get to on the other side. Big story of the day, kind of a sad one, or certainly is a sad one. We'll hit that. Troy Nickerson, UNC Wrestling head coach. Jesse Kurtz will join me, and so much more. The whole show powered by Chevron. We'll be right back.